Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to... What's the name of the show again? It's been a while. Simcast, that's the one. I am your bunged-up host, Matt Hunter. Sorry it's been so long. And alongside me, who it's also been so long for, is Steve's back. Hello, Steve.
Hello, I'm back again.
We didn't scare him off. That's a good sign. We're so sorry that we left you in the hands of Ben and Lewis again last week. I do apologise profusely for that, but Steve decided it was very important to be in 20-plus degree temperatures in Barcelona.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that.
No, you're not, though, are you, really?
No, I'm not. Not while everyone was having all the snow, and I was loving it, drinking beer in the promenade in Barcelona.
I can only assume it was in fact for pleasure. It was no business. You weren't like secretly testing something at Circuit de Catalunya or anything.
I was testing Spanish beer, if that counts. But no, it was.
What's that? That's the only one I know is Estrella, and I don't even know if that's Spanish.
There is a factory there. I think it is Spanish. Yeah, there is a lot of it.
Yeah. well, there's significantly less now that you've been there.
Pretty much.
Well, and contrary to what Ben said in the last show, we do have to issue an adjustment to his comment. He said I was in a rugby-related thing. Last time I checked, don't get many dogs playing rugby. No. No, I was at Crufts for 2 days, so I had to drive through the snow that Steve... managed to avoid to the NEC of Birmingham to support our Team Toller. There's no such thing as Team Toller, but there will be when we have ours. Go and see our friends who have Tollers and scope out some other more. It's actually quite amazing we haven't come back with about 8 dogs, if we're honest.
To be fair, I would just steal people's dogs. Like, I'd say, oh, that looks nice.
This is the thing, okay? So you know, they must be a very trusting lot. You know how in real life there was a thing. I don't know if it's still a thing so much, but there was a thing a couple of years ago whereby like there were people literally nicking people's dogs from their houses and stuff.
Yeah.
So like, there's parts of Crufts where I was literally calling it the pit garages. So they have like these huge big. They have like these huge, big, long lines of like, kind of like segregated bench type things, and you can put your soft dog cage on it or whatever, or not if the case may be. I can't exactly fit a Great Dane in a soft cage. Well, you could try, but the soft cage is called your house, and your Great Dane wears it as an anorak. But like you'd see people walking in with their dog, and then you'd see someone behind them with like a trolley with like all the kit and all this, that, and the other. I was like, literally walking by, going, it is like walking down a pit lane. The only thing that's missing is someone like rushing by with a pile of Pirellis on the back of a little trolley or something. It was quite something. But I digress.
Turns around and just like, oh, sorry, we've got to like. Put some mittens on the dog as they're like tire warmers, like before it goes out on parade.
I did see dogs with effectively tire warmers on. Yes, so that was quite something. But yeah, so there we go, Crufts. The Isle of Man TT is being released on May the 11th. Some more footage has been released of it. Have you looked at the lovely pictures and stuff that I sent you? I did indeed.
I'm actually quite excited to hear more about and watch, because I can't really play much of video games and sim racing much at the present moment in time. I'm really excited to see more of this game because this is like the third game, is it, they've come out with or something?
Yes.
Yes. I remember there was, when I was in uni, there was one of them that one of my housemates was playing, and I was blown away by the fact that they had an Isle of Man game. The fact that they're doing bike games blows my mind, because no one really understands how bikes actually work, like actually go around corners.
You need to play Ride 4 if you ever get the chance. Have you got a console at the minute? I can't remember.
Sort of.
It's in flux.
Yeah, sort of. But I don't have like my Fanatec wheel and my Logitech are just looking at me above my wardrobe at the moment.
Oh.
And that's really quite sad.
It is a little bit. It's more than I've got at the minute, mate. So I love the fact that this half of the show is done by two people who don't even have sim rigs.
But it's fine. I'm more than happy to be sent data. I said this last time. More than happy to be sent data.
I am still playing R Factor 2 using a Xbox controller, so we're all fine. It's all good.
inclusive. But the Isle of Man 3, though, that looks really good. The graphics on that, I watched that trailer that they had of that section, and I was very, very impressed with the graphics of that, because I thought that's really cool. But yeah,
it's one of those funny things. I think a lot of people think, oh, you've only got to model one circuit. How hard could it be? It's the size of the island. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Because because I think really the only comparator would be if they did if somebody did a game that was literally just the Nürburgring. I know for some people that you and I both know that is in fact their wet dream, but that's by the by.
Yeah.
But that's also significantly smaller than the Isle of Man, and I think I played the first one they did, and put my hand up and say I found it quite difficult, and I got quite cross with it, and I didn't play it much thereafter. But it does look really good, and I do love, and the fact that they do the sidecar and stuff like that is just, yeah, love the sidecars.
Well, fun actual thing actually, on one of the earlier games, one of my guys on my course, he races road bikes, as in like the Isle of Man and side.
Nice.
He's lovely guy, absolutely amazing guy, but he's not quite all there, because he happily will get in a sidecar and go around the Isle of Man or whatever, and he said that, like, he's done the Isle of Man TT on last year or the year before for the first time, one of his lifelong dreams.
Yeah,
and even he said that the game was like the way the speed, like your sense of speed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like quite comparison to what it's actually like on the bike, and he's like, yeah, it's about
and
like that.
You haven't invited him onto the show yet because,
well, true.
There's your mission. You need to get him to come on the show. So when this is coming out on the 11th of May, so you have basically 2 months to get him on the show. And we will talk about the Isle of Man TT.
Okay.
Unless he's there, of course, because it's kind of the end of May when it happens, I think. End of May, beginning of June, because that's why John Hindhoff can't go.
Because
Le Mans prep. So.
I've always watched
Isle of
Man TT.
My aunt and uncle used to go every single year throughout the 80s and early 90s, and then they stopped. I don't know why they stopped, but they stopped.
Always wanted to go.
It's on my list. Yeah. Do you know, I'll tell you what made me want to go, Guy Martin.
Yeah, I love a good bit of Guy Martin.
Hop he's chap. Not-
He's the most intelligent nutcase you've ever met in your life, probably.
That's actually a very apt description, isn't it? Intelligent nutcase. Speaking of nutcases, as in you'd have to be one to want to buy it, in Simcast's ever-widening search for the craziest sim rig that you can possibly want. Well, Red Bull went, hold my beer. And they've basically come in through F1 Authentics, which is like the official site at F1 for, well, stuff, authentic stuff. Makes perfect sense. I don't know why you're looking at me that way. There's no other way of putting it. They've done a sim rig using a monocoque. Thoughts, Steve?
Well, I looked at it quite in depth, and I looked at it, I acknowledged it, I laughed at it, and then I looked at it again, and I was like, right, okay, let's look at this as an actual purchasing. I want a sim rig. Let's go for it.
Can I just start with a very, very initial observation from my standpoint? I'm not sure. So they've used I'm guessing that's an Oracle widescreen, ultra widescreen. It's not technically ultra widescreen.
Yeah.
Which is, I would say, not really what you'd want if you were buying that.
Well, I wouldn't want that either. And then I thought, okay, well, how much is it going to be? Okay. So for the whole thing, is £99,000. I was like, all right, okay, I'll take five.
I need to find out if that is, cause now that's the full fat. Yeah. That's the full fat. The Champions edition. There are two specs.
Yeah, so if you want the low downforce version, because this comes with a front wing, like you can have a front wing on it as well.
The
low downforce spec, right? And
the Formula Ford spec.
Yeah, if you want the Formula Ford spec, you get the whole hog, but just the Formula Ford spec, and you think, oh, okay, actually, I'm going around Le Mans quite a lot. Okay, I love the low downforce thing. That's £74,000. You think, all right, I could have six of those. That's great. And then I thought, okay, well, how am I going to get it from Red Bull to my house? And yes. I was like, okay, well, I'll ask Red Bull if they can deliver it, because if I'm spending £74,000 or £99,000, I want free delivery. No, that's going to cost me £500 in the UK, or 18 grand if I want it delivered abroad.
That's the bit that gets me. I can only assume they're using Evry or someone like that, other delivery sources. Well, are probably available.
Not Hermes, because I would not want that.
It is. Like, it genuinely is. It will ship. It will ship anywhere in the UK from £500 to over £18,000 just for delivery. God, Royal Mail are making a mint out of this.
I want that delivered to the moon, like for
£18,000. But yeah, so the as we sort of alluded to there, the $99,999 or $124,101 don't forget the $1 for the Champions Edition, which gives you, for some unknown reason, the whole nose and front wing assembly. You know, for all the time where you're performing high speed turns in your lounge.
Yeah. I also have a bit of a concern with it, because for the same price you could go to another place like Base Performance and get the proper wraparound 180 degree screen. And yes, you won't get a front wing, fine, okay, you'll get the low downforce spec, but the one that I was using in uni when we were doing our sim testing and stuff, you won't be able to see your front wing anyway. And I'm pretty sure in my limited amounts of single-seater experience, which is none, but if you're seeing your front wing, in a single-seater, you've got a problem. Like, you've rear-ended something, and that's a bit of an issue. So,
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm not being funny, but in your house, that's going to be a hell of a dust trap as well. Maybe dusting that all the bloody time.
Yeah. I mean,
it is cool. Don't get me wrong. It is very cool, but
You can get it in. They give you a choice, though. They give you either Max Verstappen's or Checo's livery.
I can't imagine there's many Checo ones going.
I'm fairly certain they'll look identical.
Just with the number difference.
Just with the number difference. And also, for £99,000, do they have like a Latifi button where if you're just about to lose a race, you automatically call a safety car? And I hope that's the button on the steering wheel, to be honest. Because for £99,000, that's what I would like.
I'm just looking. So, okay, so sorry, it's an AOC curved screen. Logitech Z906 Ultimate THX surround sound. THX, of course, being the brainchild of...
Pass.
George Lucas. George Lucas invented THX.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Google that. The wheelbase is a Simicube 2 Pro. Pedals are Husqvarna Ultimate Pluses. And the wheel is the one I used to have, the Rexing Mayaris, or Mayers, as has been written in one of the articles I'm looking at. And the computer is an OC UK bespoke PC. Okay. It weighs in at 160 kilograms, which is, let's face it, tubby.
That's quite a lot. Right? That's quite a lot for the first half of a Formula One car.
I'm not entirely convinced that that's a carbon fibre chassis.
I don't think it is. I think it's like plexi fiberglass.
Yeah, but it's I mean, look, if you're a massive Red Bull fan, or you just want to troll someone who's a Lewis Hamilton fan, send them that. I personally move towards the latter, but you know, that's just because I'm a terrible human being. No comments, Ben. No comments. No comments at all.
So yeah, would I want one? Yes, but would I have one? No, I'd much rather go to somewhere like Base Performance for an actual proper.
Yeah, the Base Performance ones are good, and also Base Performance do the Brabham ones, don't they? So
they do indeed. So or even better, you can get a GT car, and that's where the proper sport is. So you know.
Oh yes, 100%. 100%.
So yeah, so that's where.
And of course, actually, and to be honest, if you want to say I'm sitting in a Formula One branded Ujima flip and don't want to spend £100,000 on it, well, you can go to Playseat and you can get a Red Bull, ironically, cockpit for €2,499. Or you can go to Track Racer and you can get the Alpine Racing TRX, which does look very, 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 very good. And I think that is quite a bit less. I think it's about $647. Oh, no, sorry. Tell a lie. It is $1,400. Which is, let's face it, again, not $100,000.
It's not, no. Yeah, I don't know. I think Red Bull are making more on the marketing side of this than the actually selling
The fact it's sold through F1 Authentics is automatically a red light to me as a, this is not going to be a cheap item.
Yeah, that too. yeah. And the thing is, if you wanted to really like go to town and build like an F1 cockpit, could you not just buy... at the end of the season, just like someone's old Formula 3 shell that is just going to...
I'll tell you what I really like. I can't remember what the company is. I'm sure some tweet us at... that's a good point, actually. I haven't done any of that, have I? Blimey, yeah. I'm a terrible host. Tweet us at Simcast Radio using the hashtag SimcastRSL. Or contact us on the Radio Show Listeners Collective on Meta, Facebook, whatever it's called these days. And I've forgotten what the point was. Sim rigs that are from companies all look like things that are real cars. Because there's one out there that basically sends you a cart chassis and a triple screen setup, and there you go, cart craft. Ha ha.
That's cool. See.
Mm. Yeah. I thought that was quite good. A bit random, but you know.
Either way, yeah, I do like it. I don't race it. I think Red Bull are just putting something out there that they didn't need to, but that's standard Red Bull, really, isn't it?
It feels like it's not the first one that they've done, but it feels like it's not the first type of thing like that I've seen. I can't remember where I know Aston gave Seb a chassis as a sim rig. I know he's got, but that's obviously not widely available, and that's Seb. Can't imagine he's doing much iRacing on it. Certainly won't be doing much F122. I don't think anybody does. Did you know that race department are doing a they're doing a thing that basically which sim racing game has the best F1 content? Obviously, there's a picture of F122 on there, and I just sat there. I went, Assetto Corsa.
Yeah, I'm sure Assetto Corsa does actually do the best F1 content, because I mean, even if Assetto Corsa themselves didn't, mod will do it for you.
yeah. So currently, their poll, which racer games do you use to drive F1 cars? Race Room, I didn't even realize had F1 cars in it, 2.3%. Automobilista 2, which actually does have very good classic F1 content, 26.1%. That's actually in second place.
To be fair, Automobilista is a good game. That is good.
It is. I need to give it more time, really. F122 is in third place. You know, the official F1 game does F1 worse than other games.
Than games that are moddable by the community.
So F122 is in third place. iRacing... is in fifth place, but they have only really got one, soon to be two cars. They've got two cars, haven't they now? They've got both the Mercedes. But I'd argue, yes, that's two cars done extremely accurately, but that's not massive F1 content. And perhaps unsurprisingly, with 66.2% of the vote so far, is Assetto Corsa.
Love it.
Not even surprised.
I love that. That's amazing.
Not even surprised. I tell you what does surprise me actually is that R-Factor isn't on there, because I'm pretty sure there is F1 content in R-Factor, but obviously it's all modded.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm actually quite surprised that that's not on there. But hey ho, they obviously forgot to add it. Yeah, I mean, because obviously AMS2, particularly the McLaren, the Senna content that they've been adding recently is very, you know, is just exceptional. And again, I'll pull my hand up and say I haven't tried it yet. I need to, because it is superbly well done. The team over at Razor, whatever we call it. But we digress. We need to talk now, having just mentioned it, we need to talk about Assetto Corsa Competizione and how quiet it has been of late. Obviously, Steve, I know you haven't actually really got to grips with it from a driving standpoint, but I can tell you it's phenomenal.
I've been on the e-pit wall quite a lot.
You have, it's true. You have, yes.
But I haven't actually physically turned laps on the game.
So the internet's happiest man Jardier has been kind of, I don't know whether he knows, but I think he's been pushing quite heavily to get more info out from Kunoz about, like, what's coming? What's happening? Can you tell us some more things, please? We'd really like to know what's going on. And it sounds like version 1.9 might be on the way, and it's probably going to be quite a big update when it does come. We know that there's going to... So, okay, let's take a step back. Things that we know are coming at some point. We know, for instance, that the Huracan GT3 Evo 2 is coming.
Hooray!
Beautiful car. Barwell have done a very good livery for it this year, I have to say. So we know that that's coming. The Ferrari 296 GT3, not only do we know that it's coming, we know when it's coming, because it has literally been announced today that it's coming, with a very pretty little trailer that they did with it, that is coming on the 19th of April. So we're about a month out. I don't think that is going to be the only thing that comes out on that day.
No, I think there'll be the new Porsche will be out as well.
Well,
potentially,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So the 992 GT3R should be coming. I'm fair convinced that that'll be that as well. The other thing that we've been promised, which I really also hope will be coming, will be the European GT2s.
Don't tempt me with a good time. Love a good bit of GT2 action.
Are you a fan?
I am. I am a fan because, like, it's the class of... It's the SRO did a wonderful job, and I saw these at Spa the other year when they just come out. Like they were doing like their first proper race of them on the Spa 24-hour weekend, and it's like the class of car or the class or the series that doesn't need to happen but always should.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's just, are you a multimillionaire? Here, have a GT3 car with less downforce and more power.
Yeah.
It's just like, and it's amazing. I love it. I think it's amazing. The fact that it's GT2 as well just echoes to me back in like 2010. And it's like, oh, they're not actually the GT2s I remember, but they'll do. They'll do for me.
So we've got the 911 GT2 RS Club Sport, which was loosely based... Oh, blimey, what was the... They did a Rennsport reunion special edition, didn't they?
Oh, it's the 935, is it? That one?
Yeah. And it kind of... The model looks like that to me.
That's a gorgeous bit of kit.
Yeah, yeah. the Audi R8 LMS GT2, which I think is the most prolific one at the moment, which also looks very good and sounds better. But since then, obviously... KTM, I don't know why, but KTM and Brabham. I have experienced that Brabham in real life, and it is delightful.
If I remember correctly, it howls, doesn't it? That car,
yeah,
absolutely howls.
Yes,
wonderful. So this is why GT2 should always be a thing. There should be a class at Spa 24. Just have 100 cars at Spa. I don't care. Just have 100.
How many cars? Because they did do a standalone race for it, and I think there was a reasonable amount of cars in it from memory.
Yeah, it was about 30 cars or something.
Yeah. So, you can see why they wouldn't run it in the Spa 24, but that would be pretty cool.
You just need more cars. Who cares? It's 65 now. Just have 85. Who cares?
It's fine. It's not a problem. But the regs mean that you can also in those races include the Huracan Super Trofeo, the 488 Challenge. Those are already in the game. The AMG GT GT2 which has a wheel that's made by Cube Controls, which is a fantastic sim wheel builder in Italy. And the brand new Maserati MC20, which is just num num num. They'll be joining.
It's not quite the GT1, though, is it?
It's not. But I'd argue it's a little bit more, should we say, traditional GT than the MC12, which was, let's face it, oh, I don't know, cheating.
It was. Let's just have a space rocket as a race car. Why not?
How do we make a Ferrari Enzo into a race car, but don't tell anybody that it's just an Enzo? I might be getting that wrong, but I'm sure it was the Enzo it was based on. Anyway, I'd love to see those. A whole field of GT2s. I think that'd be epic.
The biggest thing with the Assetto Corsa update, not is actually the new cars that they're bringing in, is actually the fact that they're giving the Evo 2s in.
Yeah.
Because unlike other sim games that I've experienced in the past, they'll bring out like the latest car and then they just won't be balanced to the older cars. And they've done a really good thing, the fact that they've updated the Evo 2 versions of stuff, which then in theory rebalances all of them, which is amazing. I think that's more of a plus point to Assetto Corsa for doing that than actually bringing out new cars, personally.
What really annoyed me profusely was that Forza made this big deal in their trailers and stuff like that, as the guys covered last week, about cars that are suddenly not in fact going to be available in the base game from the get-go. They've made a big deal about having the newer shape, R8 GT3. It's the Evo, insofar as it's got the slightly newer face, but it's not the one that's racing now. It's still bloody old.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, the Evo, the first Evo, the R8, was like 2017 or 2018 or something.
It debuted from memory, at the Nürburgring.
Yeah, it was like really old. But that's the really shocking part, is that 2018 is actually a long time ago. That really horrifies me slightly.
Or as we refer to them, the before times.
The before time. Yeah.
It was a simpler time.
It was.
But yeah, because I think so. The R8's on Evo 2 now. And for any car anoraks out there, that the obvious thing that stands out there, aero wise, is the fact that the I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it because I'm a car nerd. Is that the rear wing struts go over the join on the back of the rear wing, not from the front, which I think looks a hell of a lot cooler. But it does also mean if you back into a tire wall, your wing will fall off.
I'm sure that's an incentive not to back into the tire wall.
Oh, if you're going to hit a tire wall, definitely hit it from front first. That's absolutely the way to go.
or better yet, just not hit the tire wall.
All that. Mm. But it's weird because it's only a subtle little thing, but to me it just made the Audi look like slightly like more aggressive. I don't even know how that works in my head, but it did. Especially with valet's livery on it. I mean, God, you know.
Mm.
But yeah, so... it's exciting. I think what would be really, really interesting now, given the dearth of SRO series that are available around the world now, GT wise, you know, you think you've got World Challenge Europe, you've got America, British GT, and the Intercontinental GT Challenge, powered by AWS and Fanatec, or however, yeah. Somebody called David Perel. We need him back on the show so we can get someone to say it properly. And there's still some... There's opportunities for tracks. We need more circuits, I think, now. I think British...
Is Australia GT? SRO
is,
now.
Is it SRO? Ooh.
Is that SRO?
I think it that's is. I think it's something now.
For the listeners that is to tweet into them.
Yeah, no, because I have to admit I don't know, because I always thought Bathurst is.
Yes, because Bathurst.
Because it's part of the Intercontinental GT Challenge. I don't know about the rest of the series, but I would have thought it was.
Yeah.
Answers to Twitter, please, at Simcast Radio. Let us know how dumb we are for not knowing this. Very
soon. I think there's SRO Asia as well. There's like a GT Challenge Asia.
There was GT Asia. I don't know if GT Asia is still a thing.
Because I just saw GT Asia as like the graveyard of people's like cars from like they couldn't sell, so they just like put them to this way. You could see like an R8 like Evo 1, like the original.
turning laps around Sepang or something like that for
exactly. For a I was just like, oh, I didn't know they had Golf. Like it was like the first gen like Mercedes SLS, and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen one in a while.
This is like watching a Forza race today.
It's just like, I'm a Goodwood. It's like I'm a GT Goodwood revival. Well, this is amazing.
I mean, one would love to think that Yas Marina, to be honest, Sonoma, Magny-Cours. I mean, come on, that's just been added to iRacing. It's a phenomenal circuit. I'd love to see that in Assetto Corsa. God, I love these. Yeah, it's so cool. And of course, British GT's just announced a capacity grid as well. Did you see any of that?
I caught up with a little bit of the test and media day. Mostly, actually, from an old friend of ours, Adam Watson. Actually,
was he?
Yes, he was working with Academy Motorsport on their Mustangs. He's an absolute legend.
Oh, that's awesome.
Legend. He's in his final year of university doing motorsport. So the thing that I did. But yeah, he's absolute legend. And he was just sending me Snapchats all day, and I was really unimpressed because I was sitting behind the desk.
Have you seen 2C's Mercedes?
I have. Makes me very happy.
For those who might, I don't know, if you're listening to this show and you don't know about it, what are you doing? Go on YouTube or something and look for this car. Basically running a, air quote, classic D2 Privat Mercedes livery from, what, the late, well, it's late 90s, isn't it? Because they ran it on the CLK GT1s, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I was under five. Can we just like put that one out there?
All right. But it is a bloody iconic livery. It's just
it is, yeah. It is late 90s. I'm sure it's late 90s.
It's such cool. There's only one Aston Martin in the series this year. But that's fine because it's Beach Team. So that's okay. I'm sure there'll be some other. Yeah, you know.
Fastest ice cream van then, is it?
It's a 36 car. So just to go over the... Sorry, Tom, I'm stealing your tweet. Capacity 36 car strong entry. Biggest full-season GT3 grid in 10 years. GT4 numbers return to pre-COVID levels. There's actually Ginetta's in it again, which there haven't been for a little while. 10 current or former champions and 8 GT3 factory drivers.
That's very, very cool. But there's no Porsches.
There's one in GT4.
But there's no Porsche GT3s, which makes me very sad.
No, there is not, I'm afraid.
That does make me sad. It did look on the entry list when I did have a look at it. It is a bit of a McLaren fest.
Is that where
all the McLarens have gone? Because when you look at GT racing as a whole, you think, oh, there's not many McLarens that race. But no, they're all in British GT. That's where they all are.
Well, you say that, but there were a lot in. So in the obviously the SRO European GT Sprint, which is what goes to Brands Hatch in the spring. There's a few McLarens in that. I think it was about 3 or 4. There was. I don't know if there still is this year. But I mean, what can you say? The 720S is obviously a damn good car to have these days.
It is. It's actually really good. It is a level playing rocket ship. It's what that McLaren is.
It's a bit sad. It makes it a bit sad there's only one M4 GT3, but hey-ho, we can deal with that. But the thing is, though, this is where... this is the tenuous link time. This is where sim racing and real racing actually does kind of cross over, because ultimately everybody gravitates towards a certain type of car that is good. If you're competitive, there's very little, oh, well, I've always ran these because I love them. They're my favourite car. I'm going to run them regardless. That's why hardly anybody ran the Bentley in British GTE Sports.
You're also referring to the Orica LMP2.
Except for this dumb guy. Hmm?
The Orica LMP2 in any ACO racing ever.
Yeah. Yeah, you're running... Oh, I remember one of those. I used to see it in my rearview mirror.
To be fair...
Binoculars from the front to the back of the grid.
To be fair, why would you run a Ligier anyway when you're 3 seconds a lap slower and
compared to just,
Orica and Le Mans? It's like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yes, no, that's just dumb. But yeah, so... Oh, we do love our Gs. This is the thing. You go to Ben's show... I will reiterate this over and over again. You go to Ben's show for factual stuff, and you come to us for the entertainment and for casual sports car nerding. Okay?
It's a good time. And then together...
Yeah, it's a good time. I just feel like I have to clarify this from time to time, because if people come here expecting highbrow entertainment, well...
It's all relativity, isn't it? It's all relative.
100%. Right. That was a beer I just swigged, by the way. It is Tango Berry Peachy.
Ooh.
Sugar free. Because, to quote Jack Black, gotta lose some of the weight. God knows I do. I never thought I'd have to think if I'm going to get a decent sim rig with a decent Sparco seat or something, I am actually going to have to lose some weight so that I can get into it, and it's not like a Play-Doh Fun Factory when I get out. Oh dear. Right. Okay.
It's no endurance racing like driver changes.
It would be slow. Matt, you've taken the seat with you again. No. Don't even know. Just going to quickly do the gaming athlete esports roundup of the week, because again, you know, Ben does it seriously and makes sure he makes time for these things, whereas you and we just chat here, we just have fun, it flows. But I am actually going to get it in. So the esports roundup of the week brought to you by the gaming athletes. Head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn how to reach athletes. This is hard to do when you've got no lung capacity. He says, talk about athlete status in gaming. The irony is not lost on me. Maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.com. We are talking about round 3 of ESL R1. Using RenSport, which I do believe is still in beta. They went to the literally just released for the game Nürburgring GP circuit, which looks very good, I have to say. It's a good rendition of it.
It is. It does look very, very pretty. I could never run it on my PC at home, that's for sure.
This is the thing, I don't know, because... I've got, like, for example, I've got ACC runs on Ultra on mine, and mine's, you know, fairly, you know, fair to, like, middling to good, let's say. It's amazing what running some of the extra tricks and things that NVIDIA put into their stuff helps. So Yes, so round three, the final results. Luke Bennett took the win for Team Redline in the M4 GT3. Nils Naljox also in a BMW for BS. Yay! It's zebra time. For BS competition, came second. And Mercedes-AMG Williams Esports with Nikodim Wisniewski came in third. Kevin Ennis Jr. For Apex came fourth. The Drivers' Championship after round three, Josh Rogers still leads the way for Porsche Coanda Esports on 127. He is just a single point ahead of Yuri Toman for RHG RateG Esports on 126. Kevin Edge Jr., aforementioned, for Apex on 123. It's quite tight in that top little group. And our and Max Beneke for Mouse. See, it's been a long time since I remember I pronounced this wrong the last time we talked about it. It's not Moose, I do apologise. It is Mouse, spelled M-O-U-Z. That is what threw me. Mouse. The Teams Championship after round three, RateG, well, I'll always call it that, Esports 334, leading Mouse on 252, Team Redline in third, 247, Apex 226, and Porsche Coanda Esports on 210. Round four could be watched online on the 27th of March, which is some time away now. And yeah, so get on it, because I have to say it's been interesting to watch. You could probably watch the videos on YouTube as well, so just saying. Just putting it out there. Okay, so to sort of close out the show a little bit, we need to talk about it. And it's something that's been talked about quite a lot recently, from obviously the grass tracking at Spa, on iRacing to undercutting the circuit at Daytona, in the Daytona Rolex Daytona 24 on iRacing. But there's also a lot going on ACC and apparently also F1 Esports. Do we have, Stephen, a cheating problem?
Yes. But unfortunately, that's competition.
Mm.
And it's probably going to be very controversial me saying this, but the rise of how popularity sim racing has been in the last few years, they've brought this on themselves, if that makes sense. And I know that's very controversial.
Do you think that if it was still like it was when you and I were both racing, and the big names and stuff weren't quite as engaged with it as they are now, do you think? I'm not saying there wasn't cheating back then. God knows, we know that there was shenanigans, but I don't think it was on the sort of level that we're seeing now.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think it would be as prevalent as it is now?
No, I hand on heart, don't think you wouldn't need to, because when you've got, it's like any sport as well. So you take athletics, for instance, you take golf, you take anything, horse racing in the real world, everything. When you put massive prize pools, say like some of these esports stuff now have what, £100,000 or something?
Yeah.
Silly?
Yeah,
like, yeah, life-changing amounts of money that these teams are not just what we used to have, just groups of friends on a Saturday night, go, all right, let's go do Sebring 12 hours for an evening and hopefully not lag out. And like, this is now an actual company now, yeah, like that is an actual company and needs to run a business. And unfortunately, the risk that you take to win is greater, or isn't just as good as the reward. So you'll always want to get the advantage, because that's sport. And do I condone it? No, I don't say cheating's good, and I don't say you should be doing it. That's not what I'm saying. But it's always going to be there.
It's really interesting, because like, some So there's one example with the F1 Esports, and again, this is all alleged. You know, we must highlight and stress alleged. No one's been accused of anything specifically or anything like that. There's been a couple of incidences where people in F1 Esports have been streaming and they've accidentally shown their desktop, and up pops a screen that has effectively a cheat folder in it. But subsequent comments that were said were like, but we're all doing it. And I sort of thought, do you know what? My mind immediately went to Lance Armstrong, because I remember one of his defenses was, well, everyone's doing it. Yeah, but you got caught.
Yeah, that's the issue, is that you got caught.
It doesn't, don't get me wrong, it doesn't make it any better, the fact that they're doing it and aren't getting caught. No way. But you got caught.
Yeah. And the other thing about it is that I was reading that they were saying about the steering inputs or something are not aligned with if you were using a wheel, and they were very snappy and this, that, and the other. So a
controller. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, you're just using a controller then, aren't you? And
yeah.
Everywhere I've known, and when I used to do sim racing, the quickest guys were using controllers. The cool people were on a sim rig. Like, you know, that was the cool part. And if you could get within half a second of guys on the controller, you were having a pretty good day, to be honest.
Yeah. It's the thing is, and obviously coming from an engine, one of the reasons I think, because there's some interesting comparison videos taken at Watkins Glen, and they're talking about, I think it was pretty much like corner speed and things like that, and how certain people seem to be being able to use a lot more corner speed, not as much downforce, less steering angle, and all this, blah, 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 blah. From an engineering perspective, is that when you look at these videos and you see what the comparisons of what they're trying to say looks like is happening, with your engineering hat on, can you go, no, that's set up? Or are you going, no, I think there's something screwy going on there?
You can see sometimes where you think, oh, that's a pretty good line into there, and oh, he's got that hooked up, and oh, that's like, if you're taking, your car will be quicker if you're using less steering input, because you're not scrubbing off as much speed and you're not putting more lateral force through and things like that. So yes, you can, but then if they're cheat fault, like using cheats and fault, like altering the game data, for example, that means that your car is in theory producing more lateral grip, or has generally just more downforce, even though you're putting in less downforce, for example, in your setup, and you're getting more bang for your buck, then you won't be able to see that. The only thing you'll actually be seeing is the physical aspect of the guys doing an extra 30 mile an hour through that corner. That's what you're like. It's like everyone else is lifting and this guy's flat out.
Yeah.
So that's the physical thing of, oh, but then if they don't look at the replays of all of these drivers, looking at individually, like side by side, looking at how they're doing it and how they're actually going through these corners, you're never going to know. And it's all just finger pointing of who does what and who does where, and then you're never going to get anywhere with finding out who's done what, basically.
I mean, like some of the ones that we've seen in the recent history, like such as Williams Esports at Daytona, were basically using the flat part of the oval of the banking to fundamentally cut the course to speed up their qualifying laps. And it's just seen as an exploit. And you kind of go, well, okay, so touring car drivers, for example, they will shave bits off of apexes of corners until they're basically, let's face it, not on the track anymore, at which point they get told off. But that's a really blatant and obvious one.
Yes, that's just generally, here's the white line and you have crossed the white line. Like,
yeah.
Seven postcodes.
I have a difficulty, it's probably just because I'm an old man, but I have a difficulty sort of seeing these kind of comparison videos and stuff. And they go, oh, well, it's very clear that they're doing this, or they're clearly doing that. And it's like, how? You know, that's your... Because as you rightly said, there's ways and means that you could set that up and do it that way. And yet there's also some, like you said, some very blatantly obvious ways where it clearly isn't, you know, just a clever setup or anything. I find it uncomfortable to talk about, to be honest, because it's not...
It's people... And I don't actually do sim racing anymore, but I'm extremely passionate about sim racing.
Yeah.
And it's people ruining my passion.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's I'm all up for competitiveness, and I'm all up for having a real good quoting F1 for the show sort of thing.
Yeah.
But when you are having to cheat to win, that's where you need to, like, actually rethink your life.
That's where suddenly the argument of it's just a bloody game actually comes back into focus a bit again. You kind of think...
Yeah, exactly. But the problem is, and I quote back to what I said initially, the rise of sim racing and how profitable sim racing is now.
Yeah.
And how much it's in the public eye, and how much, like, sponsors and massive car manufacturers are now paying people to sit in their living rooms, like, you know what I mean, and race. It's that amount of pressure, because you don't want to fail, so you'll do anything you can to not have teams like Redline beat you and Coando Esports beat you and all this sort of stuff, because at the end of the day, all the best drivers are then going to go to these teams that are winning,
or are going to
leave you. So it does take the fun out of it. It does take the sting out of it. But then, in a sense, also it will segregate these premiership teams, if that makes sense, into just, well, okay, well, I'm going to sit then in split number 5 of Daytona 24, and I'm going to have a really good race, hopefully not get taken out by an LMP car. And I'm not going to go and use the apron, because I actually want to replicate and pretend I'm a real racing driver.
Yeah.
Because I can't afford it. And I'm never going to do it in real life, so I'm actually going to have my 2-hour stint and pretend I'm Pat Long or Kevin Estre, and I'm going to dive down the inside of someone in my Porsche because I can.
But you see, then that's where it is. That's where it sits for me as well. Is like, I know it's a game, but it's also the way I interact with my favourite sport. And when you get people, you've almost now got a generation of people coming in who are like, they see it as a game first, and motorsport second, and treat it as such. Therefore, the cheating, air quotes, cheating, is like one of the first things. How can I exploit this? How can I do? And of course, and that is competitive nature. We have a rule set or a law set in whatever sport you're talking about, and you work as close up to it and exploit as much of it as you possibly can to gain a competitive edge over your competitors. That is sport. That's how it works. But it's a little different when it's like this, and it's sim racing, and it's meant to be for, it's genuinely, it should really be for people who are passionate about the sport first, competitive second.
Correct.
In my opinion.
I agree with that. And I also think my first thing is actually how have they managed to do this? Like, from an engineering point of view, like, how have they managed to manipulate a game that in theory should be locked out from doing such a thing because that's the developers that have done that?
Mm.
Or how have they managed to get around this rule? How have they managed to do that? And how have they managed to get away with it? Is the next part of that. And then I also want to know is how are these game developers and series organizers going to address this issue? Because because you can't make this go away. And it does go back to this old Lance Armstrong thing of, well, we're all doing it. Well, then you all should be stopping because the developers need to now put something in place to stop you from doing that. But then you're just going to, like competitive nature, you're just going to find a loophole around that again.
Yeah, I'm going to end this bit with a tweet that a friend of the show, James Baldwin, put out. And I think it kind of summed it up when he said, it's plain and simple. If you're a sim racer out there using cheats, and by the looks of it, plenty of people who read this tweet will be, you are the lowest of the low. Responsibility lies with game devs. Make a cheat-proof game. Yeah. And yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
It shouldn't be giving you a warm, fuzzy feeling by winning when you've won through nefarious means. But by the same token, devs, if you're running big official competitions with lots on the line and stuff like that, deal with it. Get it sorted, please. Basically. I feel that's a little bit of a serious note to end the show on, but alas, this happens sometimes. I can't remember. Are we back next week or are they back next week? I can't remember what we decided. Someone will be back next week to do the show. I've been Matt Hunter. Steve has been recovered from Barcelona, I suspect.
I'd hope so by then. or I'll be doing the next show from Barcelona Beach. I'll be back.
Goodness sake. I've been Matt Hunter. Steve's been ever hopeful. We'll hopefully see you soon. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.